Random House Audiobooks presents Beloved by Toni Morrison. Read for you by the author.
Beloved. 60 million and more. I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Romans chapter 9, verse 25. 1. 124 was spiteful, full of a baby's venom. The women in the house knew it, and so did the children. For years, each put up with the spite in his own way. But by 1873, Setha and her daughter, Denver, were its only victims. The grandmother, Baby Suggs, was dead, and the sons, Howard and Buechler, had run away by the time they were 13 years old, as soon as merely looking in a mirror shattered it. That was the signal for Buechler, as soon as two tiny handprints appeared in the cake. That was it for Howard. Neither boy waited to see more. Another kettleful of chickpeas smoking in a heap on the floor. Soda crackers crumbled and strewn in a line next to the doorsill. Nor did they wait for one of the relief periods, the weeks, months even, when nothing was disturbed. No, each one fled at once, the moment the house committed what was for him the one insult not to be borne or witnessed a second time. Within 2 months, in the dead of winter, leaving their grandmother, Baby Suggs, Setha, their mother, and their little sister Denver all by themselves in the gray and white house on Bluestone Road. It didn't have a number then, because Cincinnati didn't stretch that far. In fact, Ohio had been calling itself a state only 70 years, when first one brother and then the next stuffed quilt packing into his hat, snatched up his shoes, and crept away from the lively spite the house felt for them. Baby Suggs didn't even raise her head. From her sickbed, she heard them go, but that wasn't the reason she lay still. It was a wonder to her that her grandsons had taken so long to realize that every house wasn't like the one on Bluestone Road. Suspended between the nastiness of life and the meanness of the dead, she couldn't get interested in leaving life or living it, let alone the fright of two creeping off boys. Her past had been like her present, intolerable. And since she knew death was anything but forgetfulness, she used the little energy left her for pondering color. Bring a little lavender in, if you got any. Pink, if you don't. And Setha would oblige her with anything from fabric to her own tongue. Winter in Ohio was especially rough, if you had an appetite for color. Sky provided the only drama, and counting on a Cincinnati horizon, for life's principal joy was reckless indeed. So Setha and the girl Denver did what they could and what the house permitted for her. Together they waged a perfunctory battle against the outrageous behavior of that place, against turned-over slop jars, smacks on the behind, and gusts of sour air. For they understood the source of the outrage as well as they knew the source of light. Baby Suggs died shortly after the brothers left, with no interest whatsoever in their leave-taking or hers. And right afterward, Setha and Denver decided to end the persecution by calling forth the ghost that tried them so. Perhaps a conversation, they thought, an exchange of views or something would help. So they held hands and said, "Come on, come on. You may as well just come on." The sideboard took a step forward, but nothing else did. "Grandma Baby must be stopping it," said Denver. She was 10 and still mad at Baby Suggs for dying. Setha opened her eyes. "I doubt that," she said. "Then why don't it come?" "You forgetting how little it is," said her mother. "She wasn't even 2 years old when she died. Too little to understand. Too little to talk much even." "Maybe she don't want to understand," said Denver. "Maybe. But if she'd only come, I could make it clear to her." Setha released her daughter's hand, and together they pushed the sideboard back against the wall. Outside, a driver whipped his horse into the gallop local people felt necessary when they passed 124. "For baby, she throws a powerful spell," said Denver. "No more powerful than the way I loved her," Setha answered, and there it was again, the welcoming cool of unchiseled headstones, the one she selected to lean against on tiptoe, her knees wide open as any grave. Pink as a fingernail it was, and sprinkled with glittering chips. 10 minutes, he said. "You got 10 minutes. I'll do it for free." 10 minutes for 7 letters. With another 10, could she have gotten dearly, too? She had not thought to ask him, and it bothered her still that it might have been possible, that for 20 minutes, a half hour, say, she could have had the whole thing, every word she heard the preacher say at the funeral, and all there was to say, surely, engraved on her baby's headstone. "Dearly beloved." But what she got settled for was the one word that mattered. She thought it would be enough, rutting among the headstones with the engraver, his young son looking on, the anger in his face so old, the appetite in it quite new. That should certainly be enough. Enough to answer one more preacher, one more abolitionist, and a town full of disgust. Counting on the stillness of her own soul, she had forgotten the other one, the soul of her baby girl. Who would have thought that a little old baby could harbor so much rage? Rutting among the stones, under the eyes of the engraver's son, was not enough. Not only did she have to live out her years in a house palsied by the baby's fury at having its throat cut, but those 10 minutes she spent pressed up against dawn-colored stone studded with star chips, her knees wide open as the grave, were longer than life, more alive, more pulsating than the baby blood that soaked her fingers like oil. "We could move," she suggested once to her mother-in-law. "What'd be the point?" asked Baby Suggs. "Not a house in the country ain't packed to its rafters with some dead Negro's grief. We lucky this ghost is a baby. My husband's spirit was to come back in here, or yours? Don't talk to me. You lucky. You got 3 left, 3 pulling at your skirts, and just 1 raising hell from the other side. Be thankful, why don't you? I had 8, every one of 'em gone away from me. 4 taken, 4 chased, and all I expect worrying somebody's house into evil." Baby Suggs rubbed her eyebrows. "My firstborn. All I can remember of her is how she loved the burned bottom of bread. Can you beat that? 8 children, and that's all I remember." "That's all you let yourself remember," Setha had told her. But she was down to 1 herself. 1 alive, that is. The boys chased off by the dead one, and her memory of Bugler was fading fast. Howard, at least.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?